What should a nonprofit think about when planning for scale? In today's episode, Sarita Upadhyay reflects on her initial years at Medha, a nonprofit that helps young people transition from the world of education to employment. She talks about a time when the team at Medha got the opportunity to scale their program. Sarita recalls why decisions based on assumptions, gaps in internal communication, and their overall lack of preparedness resulted in the team at Medha losing out on almost 2 years of work. Hi, I'm Shreya, and you're listening to Failure Files, a podcast by India Development Review, or IDR. The show features highly relatable narratives of failure by people working on complex issues of social change. Their stories are a reminder that the path to resilience cannot be built on success alone. Failure is a necessary condition for it. And now, let's hear from Sarita.
When I first graduated from college in Lucknow, I found that there weren't a lot of opportunity for me in the city. I knew I wanted a career, so I moved to Mumbai in search of one. However, I understood early on that while I might have all the hard skills for the job I was applying to, I did not have soft skills that young people from Mumbai did. Despite this, I did get a great job at a company in Pune where I had mentors who saw my potential and built me up professionally and personally. Importantly, it was here that I became aware how much I liked training and coaching young people who joined my team. Eventually, I realized that corporate culture was not for me. I left Pune in 2011 and returned to Lucknow in search of other opportunities. And that is when I met Krishan Byomkesh, founder of Medha, a nonprofit that helps young people improve employability skills and employment outcome. They were looking for someone to help them with curriculum development. Although I had no background in and I had no understanding of curriculum, I could immediately relate to the work they were trying to do as well as with their vision. So I agreed to join them. I was the first employee at Medha, and in the initial days, Chris Byomkesh and I spent hours developing curriculum, building college partnerships, corporate partnerships, figuring out marketing strategies, and hiring people to take our vision forward. We didn't want to create yet another parallel education system, a practice that is so prevalent in Uttar Pradesh. Even today, across the state, you will find thousands of coaching institutes that teach English or prepare students for government jobs. We believe that these skills should be taught on campus itself. We wanted our students to pick up abilities that would make the transition from education to employment a smooth one. As a result, we focused on communication skills, building confidence, industry exposure, through talks, visits, internships, to better prepare them for their first job. We wanted young people to know what they are getting into, what a BPO job looks like, what sales entail, and so on, and what soft skills they would need to excel in those environments. We kept testing and refining our program for the first 2 years, preparing ourselves for the right opportunity, and then it came along. We got a chance to present our experiential learning model to the Chief Secretary Uttar Pradesh, along with Principal Secretaries of Higher Education and Technical Education Departments, and 10 District Magistrates. We were given the go-ahead to pilot our program with 10 degree colleges and 5 polytechnics across 6 districts in the states. We were excited to expand from 1 district to 6 districts, 3 colleges to 18 colleges, and from our 300 students outreach to our potential of 5,000 plus students outreach. The opportunity we had been given was huge, and so was the challenge. When we began preparing for scale, we made our first mistake. we based our decisions on assumptions, many of which did not work. First, we assumed that students and their families wanted what we had to offer. We had tested our model in Lucknow and it had worked. However, the colleges we worked with were urban institutions where students had more exposure and were already motivated. We didn't realize that government colleges in remote part of UP had their own unique set of demands. We found that while we got student registrations from government colleges on campus, the attendance were really low. This was because the colleges were in remote locations and our students, many of whom were from low-income households, couldn't afford to make the trip on a daily basis, which meant that on different days of week, different students were coming in. Thus, we were unable to have a fixed set of students who could complete their training, which was basically a 30 hours training program. Our team tried everything. They were all young people, college educated, passionate, highly motivated. When faced with low attendance, they tried approaching the parents to convince them to send their wards to colleges. Parents had their own set of compulsions. They needed their children around to help with agricultural activity at home. Their motivation for sending their children to college was only the degree, as it would help their daughters to get married and their sons to apply for government job. Even the students we were able to place in internship were having hard time. If their company was in the city and they didn't compensate for their transport cost, the student couldn't show up for the work. Overall, it seems like our model was falling apart. Our team understandably began to get demotivated and frustrated. And with each new things we tried, our program cost kept shooting up. The second major assumption we made was assuming that industry will be keen to hire young people with soft skills. Since we were essentially a student-centric organization, we had not invested our energies in working with companies. However, our students ultimately needed to get absorbed by industry. Soon we realized that industry either wasn't interested or didn't have capacity to take these students on. While the companies we approached thought our students had better aptitude than other young people in the market, none of them felt that our students were better skilled. While Medha program equipped young people with soft skills, we realized that they could not get jobs based on their confidence and communication abilities alone. The reality was that our student did not have hard skills, such as computer proficiency, that they needed to get jobs. Even those graduating from technical colleges did not know the basics of engineering. Lastly, we assume that talent will solve everything. To work with students at large scale, we created two pillars to our program, student training and industry interface. Separate teams were created for each, and we tried to hire what we thought was the best talent for the job. The employee relations team, which interacted with industry, comprised senior business development professionals who had worked in corporate before. We hired them because we thought they would be best positioned to talk to companies and get our students placed in them. However, we didn't realize that people from corporate background have different mindset, with many focusing on achieving numbers. Initially, I spent a lot of time with them, mentoring them, telling them about our values and what we wanted to achieve. But as we grew, the pressure of numbers followed, and we passed that on to them. The number of students in our program kept growing rapidly. However, opportunities with industry were limited, and the quality of employers became a big concern. This meant that even after internships and exposure visits, our students were not learning anything. Our core value, student centricism, was at stake, and the organization culture was becoming like that of a sales company where everyone was running after number. Employment outcomes dipped and our team's morale was affected. The employee relations team couldn't survive and there were mass resignations. Needless to say, all this affected me badly. I spent a lot of time reflecting on what went wrong and talking about it. And this is what I have learned. My first takeaway from this experience was that it is important to do research and prepare for growth. The mistake we made was growing the program based on assumption about growth, stakeholders' behavior, skill required, and so on. We did not do any detailed analysis on how we could achieve this growth and what it would take. How many industries were out there, what kind of small and medium enterprises we need to target, the hurdle we would face in the process, etc. At the crux of it, we just hadn't planned for scale. We were only solving the problem as they came up. As a result, we lost on almost 2 years of work at Medha. On the other hand, it also taught us what we know now. Today, we are aware of the importance of building a long-term strategy based on analysis of market opportunity, stakeholder appetite, drivers, and barriers. And implementing what we learned has now allowed us to rework our model and keep the essence of Medha alive. Second, I learned the importance of building around the core values of the organization. Medha was conceptualized as student-centric model. When we began to scale, however, we found that it was not possible for our student relations managers to keep up with training, handholding, placing such a large volume of youngsters. The model wasn't feasible as one sought to scale. In order to make it work while staying true to our core values, we had to narrow our scope of work. Therefore, we decided to work only with active colleges, focus on final year students, and create regional career centers for better connectivity. Third, we learned that compliance is hard but extremely important. Monitoring the work of a large remote team was difficult. When we began to do random checks by calling 50-100 students to ask what they had learned in their sessions, we found that students were not attending the sessions they were supposed to. It wasn't long before we realized that we would have to create processes for compliance, data collection, and analysis. And our existing team wasn't equipped to do any of these. Consequently, we set up a knowledge branch in our team. These were the people who looked at monitoring and impact, compliance, and data. They told us what was working and what wasn't and allowed us to make informed decision for future action. And finally, I understood why having a strategy is critical, but communicating it is even more so. Not having a clear long-term strategy creates a disconnect internally. Our vision was always strong. However, we didn't have much clarity on our organizational strategy. We also didn't communicate it across the organization. If people on the ground do not know how they are contributing to the bigger objective, they act based on their motivation alone. For example, if someone is motivated by money, they might falsify attendance, take poor quality internships, and so on. If you don't have clear vision and strategy at the top and it does not percolate down to the field, there will always be problems. If I have to sum up this experience, I can say that I missed critical element while planning for scale. Our assumption failed, the organizational restructuring backfired, and we lost essence of our student connect, our core value. This journey reconfirmed our belief that better employment outcomes need a holistic and human-centric approach and that we have to be thoughtful and strategic about.
Failure Files is produced by Rachita Vora, Tanaya Jagtiani, and me, Shreya Adhikari. This podcast is part of a larger initiative at IDR, where, alongside 15 partners, we are creating a space for candid conversations around failure in social impact. To read more about this growing movement, check us out at idronline.org. You can also share your own failure story with us at writetous@idronline.org. Thank you for listening and see you next week.